Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. Your hosts for today, Ivan Pineda, Christian Rosendo, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez. Let's start the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Eagle Eye Podcast. Welcome to our Lady Aguila talk here, as we're going to be discussing everything in and around America Femenil. We're obviously going to be touching bases on that terrible loss to Tigres and that very disappointing draw at home with Puebla. But before I get ahead of myself, as always, let me introduce tonight's co-host, none other than Brooklyn's very own AJ. AJ, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Just the results make me upset, but on the other hand, in life, life's been pretty good. Just good in general. How about you?
You know what? Can't complain either, too. A little tired, but hey, aren't we all at this stage of the year? But I know we have to talk and reminisce upon what happened in these last two games. Not something that we're going to enjoy too much, but we do have a big game coming up against Monterrey. So we're going to try to maybe find or weave some positives coming into this Monterrey match. But believe me when I tell you that there isn't much to go on, but we'll try to do our best here. So, AJ, we ready to jump into all things Las Lady Aguilas?
I'm ready whenever you are.
All right, AJ, well, might as well start from where we left off last time, and it's talking about America versus Tigres. We came into this match a little bit worrisome, didn't really think we'd have the squad to really go toe-to-toe the full 90 minutes against Tigres, and that really showcased, but I didn't expect for us to kind of be walked on for the majority of the match. We'll talk a little bit more about the kind of incidents that happened, but for the majority of it, your goalkeeper was honestly your best player in that match, and honestly, I'm a goalkeeper myself. I always advocate for the goalkeeper position. But when your goalkeeper is your best player out on the pitch, when you lose a game, that's not good.
Yeah, no, just not really. Throughout the entire match, I just kept tweeting on the Eagle Eye podcast account, just tagging Renata Mascherini, because that's literally all that was just happening throughout the match. It's just her making save after save after save after save. She recorded 9 saves throughout that entire match, which is amazing. Only letting the one goal in, but in reality, it wasn't really her fault for like letting the goal in. It was due to Monica Rodriguez not really marking her player, which allowed Tigres to then score the goal by Tigres Femenil's Belin Cruz. But just, it wasn't really good. It seemed like just everyone was just off of it. I mean, I guess the only other player in defense I could say that did help out where Renata Mascherelli was Jocelyn Rojas, in which she was doing everything that she possibly can to try to not let any more players just get past her. But just, no, it was just a really horrible showing from América Femenil. And if I have to say, this could probably be the worst match of the season.
Well, it definitely could have, but that Puebla game was probably in contention for that spot as well. But we'll get to that in just a little bit. So let's talk a little bit more about this Tigres game. As I mentioned, we weren't as, you know, positive going into this one because we knew that we had some pretty good players out for this one. Obviously, Montserrat wasn't going to be featuring in this and definitely didn't feature in the game against Puebla. We'll have a little bit of an update on her situation a little bit later on in the show. But then, of course, we knew that Jen Munoz wasn't going to start because she wasn't 100% match fit ready. Still doesn't look like she is after this Puebla game. Again, a little bit more on that later. And then the narrative that kind of follows these two games, whether it be Tigres and or Puebla, is the fact that America ends up with 10 players on the pitch. So now it looks like there's a disciplinary issue that we have to throw on top of all of these kind of issues that we had just been talking about prior. So, AJ, we come out with, I would say, a reasonably good starting 11. I think when you look on paper, the players that we put out against Tigres, which you'll read out to in just a second to kind of refresh our memory, you kind of think, okay, we can probably give Tigres a good run for their money, right? We're not going to be so dominant. We know that they like to have ball possession. And frankly, Cuellar is okay with that. We like to get player teams on the counterattack with the type of players that we have. But it just didn't seem like that was going to work out after the first couple of minutes, because you just felt that no matter what America were doing, Tigres were just one step ahead. They always looked like they were a little bit sharper. They were a little bit more in tune to what they wanted to do. And I think that very much disrupted what America was trying to do. That it's so, at some point I felt was so frustrating to watch because these ladies had no kind of idea of how to cope with this. That it was just a matter of, let's just play kickball. Let's get this ball up. And you know what? Dani and Hannah can try to figure something out because at this point, we just got to get the ball out of here.
Yeah, no. So, like, as you mentioned, like, we were playing a 5-2-3. We had five. We're playing with five in the back, which I'm pretty sure it's the first time this season that we have played this. So, just refresh everyone's memory. We had Renata Mascherelli starting for goalkeeper. Then we had Jocelyn, Selene, Anagabi, Jimena, and Monica as our five defenders. Then in midfield, we were having Marcela Valera and Cassandra Cuevas. And then up front, as our wingers in the fourth, we have Hannah Gutierrez, Marlene Campa, and Daniel Espinosa. But just nothing was really just going in our way. It seemed like with the absence of Jennifer Munoz, Veronica Perez, and Montserrat Hernandez, it seemed like we really had no clue what to do. It seemed like as we got the ball, just thinking and like just looking at each other, okay, what's next? What are we going to do? And you mentioned to me earlier in this, it seemed like that how America just seemed that they could not connect just for passing. It looked like that was the case. We were looking completely lost throughout that entire match while we were just letting Thieves just constantly knock on our door, which is getting shots after shots, which have a little stat sheet right here. America Femenil only had two shots, one shot being on target, and Tigres Femenil, 20 shots, with seven of those shots being on target. And then a stat line from the first half, America Femenil 23% possession, and then Tigres Femenil had 77% possession. Like you mentioned, you wanted the other team to get the ball, which Cuevas is fine with, but the problem is we let out the ball way too much. 77% possession compared to our 23%, we weren't really doing much with it. And by the time we did happen to get the ball, we just gave it away immediately. And it's just like, what are we trying to do here? It's like on paper, when we're looking at the players that we have, it's like we should be able to do something in this case. But then just Diaz just are just like they didn't really care to who we had. They're just going to play their usual game. And they just showed up really just trying to just get shot after shot after shot. Just, I'm just kind of lost for words. It's just what was going on in this match. It's just, it was just really embarrassing just to see them play. And just like from all the matches that we've like played at, like I would say this is one of the worst games, but I feel like this is one of the games you also will have to put in against playoff caliber teams that we played last time, like Atlas and Pumas. But just seeing how we also then played against Tigres, in which we got completely, I'd say, destroyed in this case, it's just like it's making me worry more and more if this is really how we're going to come up against playoff caliber teams in the league. It's like, what is this team really going to actually do? And then it comes to the fact that, well, we don't have three important players like Montserrat Hernandez, Veronica Perez, and Jennifer Munoz in midfield. It's just like we don't have a play style. We're just looking at each other. It's like, okay, who's going to do what?
Yeah, this was definitely one of those games in where, well, I'll just say this. This was definitely one of the more painful games to watch as a fan because of a lot was riding into this game prior to the injuries, prior to everything, was that, you know, America was finally going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Tigres and be able to kind of go, you know, like for like and kind of, you know, be able to get them, especially in their own territory. Because like you mentioned before, AJ, in the previous podcast, our numbers, our stats against Tigres have not been at all good. Not good at all. Yes, granted, we have a championship and we beat them, but even then we had to take it to penalties, right? Mm-hmm. We had to take it to penalties. So we were all looking really forward to maybe potentially seeing a much better America side. Obviously, the injuries come and everything. And so, I mean, there's a lot to dissect from. There's a lot of layers to kind of go in through. So let's start from parts at this point. One, I think we mentioned some of the key players that were not out. And we thought maybe the biggest key player that we were losing was definitely going to be Montserrat Hernandez because she brought so much creativity, so much pace. The fact that she is probably one of, if not the most influential player going forward for our team, we thought that was definitely going to hinge us. But looking back at this game and really evaluating what America needed, it seems like the biggest loss and probably the biggest loss we're going to have this season is the fact that Veronica is not going to be on the pitch.
Yeah, no, she was playing the center defensive midfielder role, in which she was really crucial to it. Like, when we look at stats, like, on the Liga MX Feminine Twitter page, we just see a lot of her just sending the ball upwards, making the short passes, through balls, crosses. Like, she was essentially, she was like the Mozart in the midfield when she was pretty much orchestrating the midfield. She, as soon as she got the ball, she's kind of like telling everyone to like go up front, or whoever's open, it's like, I'm gonna give this ball right to you, now go do something with it, while I'm also gonna accompany you as well, because she happens to, she also is capable of scoring some goals as well. She only got one goal this season, but it was off of a nice rebound, and she's also capable of taking the free kicks when it's not coming to corners, which usually Montserrat Hernandez takes. But it's just like, you know, it's just the apps. You have to put someone like Ava Gonzalez, which, granted, she's coming from the United States. She was playing college soccer, which is really good. But as well, it's her first time playing in this league, and it's first time being a part of this team. So it's really her having to, like, figure out, really, how could she help this team out in every way possible? Because we do have another player that can play in the same position that Veronica Perez can, and which is Zulma Hernandez. But just ever since she's came back from that nose fracture injury, it seemed like really she's really having a slow start into the scene, just trying to get herself back to her usual self. So really, it's just having Ava Gonzalez really gain the starts now for this team, and she has to like really do her best to fill in. Yes, at this point in the season, we should already have like a solidified starting 11, but considering with the injuries and all that, and Cuellar on how he usually likes to change players up, it seems like for some players, it seems like it's difficult for them to actually just get themselves accustomed and playing every single time, which I'm going to talk about for the Puebla game, because we did see a change, particularly in a specific position. But it's just one of those things where I'm just kind of like, it's hurting us to see when we have injuries. It seemed like we're looking at it, like these are the players that are really key to our starting 11, to our entire play style, in which I guess it's a hot take in this case where I think many people can maybe agree. Who knows that? I think America fan really doesn't have a playing style. It's usually in the case where it's like we're just passing it to Montserrat Hernandez, who's going to be on the wing. She's going to cross it to any four that's in the box, whether it's Daniela Espinosa, Marlene Campo, or Dalia Molina, and then they do the rest there. You take her out of that equation, and it's like, okay, where are the crosses coming from? Because when we look at the wingers, I feel like we don't really have any other true winger than Montse Hernandez.
That is kind of the big issue, and something that we really are scratching our heads on. Probably something that we've been scratching our heads on is the fact that, and you touched upon it, the fact that this team doesn't really have a playing style. And we talked a little bit about this off camera and off air, was the fact that, you know, whether or not Leo Cuellar after this season, if things don't go accordingly, should he continue at America? And we'll get to that discussion, maybe not necessarily in this podcast, and probably we'll have to save it for another one. But it is definitely a conversation that we should be having. And I think we both brought up some pretty good points in regards to as to maybe why he does and maybe why he doesn't stay. So, but you're right, AJ. I think there's a big question mark around what kind of playing style is this team even trying to do, and whether or not does that affect the players themselves on the pitch, not knowing exactly what they want or what they need to be playing towards. Obviously they know their positions, they know what is asked of them, but you know, to have a style and to have an understanding of that, I think that's very important in a team. So again, I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but going back to what you were talking about, you're right. I think there's a depth that we didn't really look at. We kind of oversaw it and said, you know what? We should be fine on the wings. We have Montserrat. You know, we have players like Hanna who can play there as well. You know, just kind of chuck the two. Yeah, we have players there, right? We were more focused on whether who's going to get the goals. Is the midfield looking a little bit more amped up in the defense and all that stuff? And we said, yeah, you know, we're looking good. Now the biggest issue is that winger position, because I think you and I have both talked about it, AJ. Hanna for us is just not a good right winger. I mean, she doesn't have the pace for it. She doesn't have the dribbling capabilities. She looks slow at times. Her reaction just looks a little bit delayed, which is normal for a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I understand that. Like, she's young, and it's where I feel like we're coming at a point where, like, we're seeing Cuellar trying to experiment to see where players can be playing. Because, look, Daniela Espinosa in this game, she was playing, if I'm not mistaken, as a right winger, I think it was. And I think he had like Hanna on the left. So it's like Daniel Espinosa has played this position before on La Selección Nacional women's team. But it's just the thing, like, she seems like she's still trying to get a grasp for that position. We've seen Marlene Campo also play in as a winger, too, at some point. We've seen Dalia Molina also play. Jene Gonzalez, she's also playing. But it's just one of those things, it's like, we're trying to put players who are usually playing as a forward and trying to play in that right winger spot or the left winger spot. And it's just like, I don't know if you could, should really be doing that at this point in the season. Earlier on, maybe yes. But it's just the thing, it feels like they're missing some attributes that you want to see in a winger. If you don't have the pace, you don't have the dribbling capabilities, you can't cut it into the box, you can't be able to take defenders on or just try to make a cross. And it's just like, should you really be playing it in that position? It seems like you're kind of like handicapping yourself in a way. It's better if you're playing in a position that you're really accustomed to rather than playing in a position that you know little to like nothing about. I'm sure they practice this during, you know, at training and they're trying to get better, but I feel like at a game, it's like that's like where the test is at an actual game and see whether you can put everything you've done in training into the game. And it just seems like some players maybe are not doing it for us in that position. Like Hanna, I feel like it's just put her as a forward or maybe just put her back as a defender, because remember when she was first brought into this team, she was playing as a left back, and I'm saying, I think she was able, even capable of playing as a right back at some point. So if you really want her, just put her back as left, because there have been some instances in this season where she's able to take a ball away from the opposition, from a player, which is like, okay, that's good. And she's able to then send the ball off to someone else. So in this case, if you really want to put her there, just go for it. But it's just the thing, it's just like, I'm not understanding to why we're just putting players who I feel like in the view of a fan, it's like if you know they played as a four their entire time, putting it as a winger, it's like, why? It's not going to work. And maybe Grant knows what he's doing. Maybe he's maybe figuring out maybe it's not work, but I'm still going to put them there because I feel like that if I'm going to play this formation, I need to put the players like in their appropriate position, at least try to put them in a spot I feel like they can play. But it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem like, you know, Cuellar is in kind of experiments, if you want to put it in that term, are really actually paying off at this point. And like you mentioned, AJ, we're kind of in more than a little bit halfway through the season at the point where we should have already had a set starting 11. Like you mentioned, we've had a little bit of setbacks with these injuries, but at this point, we should have also had a playing style. And I think whilst we've had some really good results, AJ, we still scratch our heads as to, well, exactly what was the team playing at? Because at moments, it looks like we're playing this. Then at other moments, it looks like we're just a little bit lost. Yet, we're fortunate enough to not concede or maybe to not lose because, you know, individual talents kind of bring us back in, and push us back into a pretty good position. But I think you're right, AJ. There's got to be stuff that needs to be worked on, not just from a player's perspective, but from a managerial perspective as well. But let's go back to this Tigres game, because I think we've kind of lost ourselves in all of this, and go back into really what we saw that looked... let me rephrase it, what I'm trying to say. Did you even see anything promising in that Tigres game?
No.
Mm-mm. And that's the issue, AJ. There's usually a glimpse here and there. And this is besides the point that obviously we already said that Renata Mazzarelli was just absolutely on a different level, which is good. We will have the debate of who should start on Monterrey against Monterrey which I don't think JD's actually going to be available, but if she was, who would you put? So we'll talk a little bit about that later, but like I mentioned, there's not really a standout there. I think for the first time in a long time, actually for the first time this season, I saw Jocelyn really, really frustrated. Not just with what was going on, but with her own teammates. You just kind of saw that it was just, she was kind of like, I'm left to do most of this by myself. What is going on, guys?
Yeah, no, I feel like with five in the back you're playing, I feel like every defender should be playing some role in there to help strengthen the defense up along with the goalie to not allow the opposition to get that many shots. But when you see that DSME had like 20 shots, it seems like, where are we leaving spaces open, or they just want to just take shots like right out just because they can? It's just like, no, it's one of those instances where like we've seen Jocelyn, she looked like really angry, like no one else was really doing anything. It seemed like are fullbacks are just letting the wingers just go right past them, go for a cross, go for a ground pass, whatever the case may be. It just seemed like we were just leaving spaces open just left and right. And then it doesn't really help when we only have really two midfielders in Cassandra Cuevas and Marcela Valera, who later on got subbed out on Marcela Valera and getting a red card at that point because she had two yellow cards in the span of just 5 minutes, in which, as you said, that's like an example right there to see where there's some disciplinary issues in which players, I think, looking at that stat line, they were getting really frustrated. They just could not seem to figure out how to break through this Tigres side. So, like, no, when you think about having just only two midfielders really there, that gives the other opposition to just bring as many players as want, because Marcela Valero is the only center defensive midfielder there. Cassandra Cuevas, in no case does she even play defense at all. So, yeah, it's like you're leaving out to Marcela Valero to not let a forward or a midfield just try to get past you. In that case, when the red card happened, we had to play Ava Gonzalez, and she seemed even more lost, like, what to do. Now we're going to go back to the defense, because I kind of got a bit sidetracked, but just the defense, like, nothing was really clicking. Like you mentioned, Jocelyn was just doing everything for this team. She was just trying to clear the ball out, do some tackles, sweep the ball out. It's just, I'm not really understanding to why the defense is playing so bad. It's just like, it's a solid defense too. And I feel like with a defense like this, I feel like we shouldn't really be having so many problems in allowing the opposition to just get a shot. I feel like we should just be able to stop it, but just no, it was just not the case. I was lost to what was just happening during that time. Just, I'm actually speechless, yeah. Really.
It was very head scratching at the moment. And I think the one thing that really frustrates me about this loss, and it's not so much necessarily that maybe we got outplayed, but it was the fact that we had no heart, if that makes any sense, AJ. There was no heart in that game from the ladies. Like, there was no one that was like, I'm going to go and I'm just going to try my best and I'm going to try to cheer my teammates and I'm put 110% out there. Not even from our own captain, who looked frustrated, who was giving up balls in our own halves, who's just recklessly passing it by our box and losing it out and just kind of shrugging her shoulders like, okay, you guys deal with it now. And it's not I'm trying to put point fingers just at Dani, but it's just she holds the armband. She holds the number 10 jersey. She holds the responsibility and the weight of being America's all-time leading goal scorer. That, yes, I wanted to see more from her in this game. We didn't. Some of the substitutions, I thought, you know, I understood, but maybe were made at the wrong time. I think America was finally maybe grabbing a little bit of traction. And then these substitutions come in, and then, of course, they kind of disrupt anything that really this team was doing. It was a big ask for Jen Munoz to come in and try to change the face of this game. She doesn't look like she's at 100% just yet. We'll see whether or not that this game against Monterrey is going to be one. But it frustrates me because these ladies were the one opponent that they obviously look forward to playing the most, whether besides Chivas, of course, because they know that's the Clásico. But it's Tigres, and they've set it out, and Jen has come out, and she said, you know what, that's the one match I'm looking forward to. I want to play. I want to beat them. And you know, they say they want to put a good face out there for the team and all that stuff. And at the end of the day, I really do hope that they, at that bus ride back home, they all sat down and they all looked at one each other and they said, it wasn't enough. That wasn't good enough. And we should all be disappointed in ourselves.
Yeah.
But no. I don't think that conversation happened, AJ, because look what happened against Puebla. You know? Mm. So, I mean, well, we'll step aside from this Tigres game and let's talk about Puebla now, because I think we've rambled on enough about Tigres, right? We lost that game, 3 points down the bag, down the drain. And obviously, we were looking at this Puebla game to kind of be the game that kind of changed all things, right? Because previously, earlier this week, when we were talking about the men's, and we were talking off camera, AJ, I said, we had a terrible game against Tigres, but if we flip it around, play against Puebla, and end up winning like 5-6-7-0, then we're probably having a different tone and saying, look what, this Tigres game, we had a hiccup, we didn't have the players that we needed to against a very good squad. We won't necessarily give them a pass, but we understand. And coming to this Puebla game would have been a whole different story. Yet, AJ, we're sitting here, and not only have we dropped 2 points, but it looks like we just keep spiraling down under.
Yeah, no. So, like I mentioned before, the position change. Yeah, Guerra decided to put in Natalia Acuña instead of Renata Mascherelli, who was having a really good run. Now, I now like agree with you. It's like why you should be having a goalkeeper that's constantly playing, because when you then switch them out just for one game and you put the Owen back in, they're going to lose some kind of flow. In this case, I'm just like, why? Just let Mascherelli play. She's doing good right now. The upcoming game we have against Puebla is going to be Monterrey, and I'm like, we need Mascherelli to continue her form. We put Acuña in. Acuña had a good game. The problem, it's the same thing against Tigres, in which our goalkeeper was pretty much the one that was, I felt that was our player of the match, if you call it. Then in this case, because it's just like, I'm not understanding to why we struggled against a team that are in 16th place. 0-0. What?
And they could have definitely have won this game.
Oh,
I'll put it like that. Puebla could have won this game if some of those shots were a little bit more on target, and if Acuña wasn't having the match that she was having.
Yeah, no, the post saved us like I think twice or so, and I'm like, oh my lord, if we
concede. The post also didn't help us.
It was not helping us. I was like, if we concede to Puebla, I'm going to lose it. They didn't concede at all, thankfully. But then just the tie, I'm like, huh, we tied it against a team that's in 16th place.
You know what, AJ? I didn't get the luxury to be able to watch this game fully because I was at work. So I was doing my best to try to sneak it into like a little mini window on my computer screen. I was like, is no one watching? But I was watching, as I was watching this game, you just saw the same of what was going on at Tigres. Like, there was no heart. Everyone seemed a little bit too laid back. It almost felt as if these ladies thought that they had won the game already because of the shirt that they were wearing. And that is the one thing. That's the one thing we always criticize here, is that you cannot go into a game like that, right? You have to go out there and you have to go represent and take the game to Puebla. This was a game that could have easily have ended like that Necaxa or Mazatlán game, if they had just taken the game right away. But they seemed a little bit too laid back. They seemed a little bit too standoffish. I understand the rotations, right? This isn't our strongest starting 11. I understand the rotations, right? There was a traveling period, doble jornada. You have a big opponent coming up against Monterrey. So, of course, you're going to rest some of your bigger players, like Jocelyn, of course. To some degree, I understand why you give Renata Mascherelli a rest after the game that she just had. But we still had a very good squad out there, right? As Jen Munoz was finally back in the starting 11. I mean, you had Marlene Campa, who was at the striker position. I mean, you just had players there that could, on paper, you're thinking, they're going to bag in at least 2 goals, right? But when you go back and you watch this game, and it's just, again, you're scratching your head. You're like, why isn't it clicking? Why is it not working? And at this point, I do think we have to put a lot of blame on Cuellar. Because like we mentioned, there is no playing style, right? And if we track back even further from Tigres, we had the same issue against Pumas. There wasn't really a playing style to it. It was just, okay, let's move the ball around. And the midfield just looks so flustered, so confused at times. They just don't really understand what is being asked of them or what they need to do. And to be honest, I think it's the fact that we have a couple of players there that aren't naturally center mids. Cassandra Cuevas. And after that Pumas game, I told you, and I will repeat it here on the podcast, she should not be starting in that center mid position ever again. And it's not to discredit her. It's not to say that she's a bad player. Of course not. We know what she's capable of. You go back a couple of seasons, look at the goal she's not only just scored for us, but for Tijuana. It's the fact that that's not her position. She can't shine in there. She feels lost at times. And if you take away her biggest help in Veronica Perez and give her just even that much more responsibility, I hate to say it, AJ, but it seems like she kind of shrinks in the moment. And that is not what you want from one of your most capable players on that pitch. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think went wrong against Puebla?
First things off, disciplinary problem again. Jimena Rios got a red card in the 23rd minute. And I'm like, we're already down at 10. What? And it was a play in which Jimena Rios was trying to get the ball back, but then she had to step on the Puebla player's foot. And I'm like, that's going to be a red. I'm like, I know she didn't mean to do that, but then like she was even saying to the ref, like, I didn't mean, but it's a red. She's like, okay, so be it. And because of that, we had to sub Dalia Molina out in the 33rd minute for Jocelyn. And I'm like, why are we putting our best defender now to just sub in for one of our defense? It makes sense. I know, because that's smart, because you don't want to be playing with three defenders in the back or have like 10. But the thing is, you're also taking a winger out in this case, and you have to put another defender in, which we're going to need Jocelyn for that Monterrey game. But just second of all, we were just making substitution, in which I'm just like, I'm not understanding what's going on. Look, it's the second time which Daniela Espinosa got subbed out in the 70th minute mark. She happened to get subbed out in the 71st minute against Tigres. Against Puebla, it was in the 72nd minute for Zaira Moreno. Then we had Jennifer Munoz coming off for Hannah Gutierrez. And then we had Zuma Hernandez coming in for Ava Gonzalez. And I'm just like, what are we even trying to do here at this point? Like, are we just trying to just disrupt the flow that we were having? Because America Femenil had 14 shots in that game, in which finally were being on target compared to Puebla's 8. We were getting some shots on. The problem was, I felt like we were just putting a bit too much power into the shot. Like, Daniela Espinosa, like, she had 2 times in which she could have scored. She just puts a bit too much power into the ball and hits the post. We could have easily just had 2 goals right there at that point. I'm just like, oh, it's like, I'm not understanding, like, what we even, like, what's going on here? Why are we struggling so badly against this team? It's just, it's against a side that's just struggling throughout the entire season. And then we're then having, in this case, America, we should be beating them. We need some kind of confidence booster before going up against Monterrey. And we came up out of that match 0-0. I'm just like, I don't know what to even say. This makes me more worried for the Monterrey match coming up at this point, and I'm not trying to look at some kind of positive. I'm like, I'm not seeing many. And then you mentioned before how some players are just playing in positions they're not really even comfortable playing in, like when midfield, Cassandra Cuevas, she's not a midfielder. She's originally a forward. But then I knew, I think it was like from a year ago when she didn't happen to go to Cholos, they say she was playing a new position, which she's trying to get accustomed to. But I'm like, just keep her at forward, though. I feel like she doesn't really fill in the spot as a midfield, which you're going to have to be creative. Especially with Vero Perez gone, you got Cassandra Cuevas, and I had to make some kind of creative play. I feel like she's not really one. In this case, she's a center attacking mid, where she's going to be accompanying the attack in this case, or just be brought right behind the striker. I just guess, like, just put her back as a forward. I would say the same thing with Marlene. Just put her back as a forward. Look how many deadly forwards we have in this team. And yeah, I feel like Cuellar is like, let me just play musical chairs. I'm just going to put you like maybe a center mid. I'll put in a forward. I'll put you like center defensive mid or something. Like, what are you doing? They don't play those positions. How do you think that's going to end up? Like, it's terrible. It's making me more frustrated. I could see why so many people comment on Twitter just saying, sack Cuellar, it is time, just leave him, like, stop with his experimenting, that's not gonna work. It's like relating back to his, like, mentioning his son to what he's doing on the Mexico national team for the women's. He's putting players, which I feel like they have so much potential, but he's putting them in positions they're not even supposed to be playing in. And I'm like, why are you being like your father? Stop that, please. Just put the players in the position they're supposed to play in, and you're going to see the good results coming out from that. But just, it's like, no. It's like where I was like, nah, I don't want to. Is he trying to give the players some kind of challenge to play a different position? I don't know, I guess. Like, I don't know what he's even trying to do at this point. But I feel like at this point, it's even like, stop that. Just go with your best team and just defeat everyone that's in your path in order to win the championship.
Yeah, it's definitely not a time to be putting any kind of challenges. Just go out there and get the result. And it's funny you touch upon all this, because I do want to read something that he said in his press conference. And shout out to Miss Amy from Footmix Nation, who kind of translated all this in, over on her Twitter. And so the question to Cuellar was, how did it feel knowing that three games have gone by, and those are three games in where America have yet to get a victory. This was his answer. He said, "The points weren't our focus in these matches." Let that just be the highlight of the beginning of the statement. The points weren't our focus in these matches. So you're telling me, Tigres, one of your biggest opponents, you didn't care whether you won, lost, or draw. You're telling me against Pumas, which is your Clásico Capitalino, a must win at América, was not even worthy of thinking about points there. And Puebla, a game in where you should have easily have won this game, didn't really care about the points. Let me finish the statement before we go off here, AJ. So, like I mentioned, these points weren't our focus in these matches. We've created our chances with our 4-3-2, obviously because of the fact that we were down to 10 players. We just haven't properly finished those chances. There's no easy games going forward. I would argue that there was no easy games in these last couple of three matches because Pumas, you weren't guaranteed a victory. They were playing pretty decent. And look at that. They were able to sneak a point away from you, which granted, they probably should have won that game. Two, Tigres. That is not an easy match by any means necessary. And to think that you're coming into this not even considering points, I mean, I feel like that's just a slap in the face for some of these fans, right? Now, going back to Cuellar, if he's worried about the team moving forward, he said, "Today is about reflection." Okay, he's sounding like one of those gurus that are trying to sell you on stones and calling them, meditation rubies or whatever. So today is all about reflection. What I think is needed is the mentality that we can compete even in these circumstances. I think today, even down a player, we could have gotten the victory. Which granted, they could have, but they did. So, AJ, that is our head coach talking to the press, saying, "I'm not worried. We're fine. We're okay. These last three games that we just played, I didn't really care whether we got points or not. It was all about the function of the team."
What do you mean?
That is mind-blowing. As a coach, I don't even think that should fly in any team. But necessarily in an America? My goodness, when I saw that, when I read that, I could not believe what I was reading. Unbelievable. If is he trying to say, maybe? Is he trying to take some focus away from some of the players? Maybe. But there is no way you come out and you say the things that you just said, AJ.
Three games, two ties, one loss, one goal. What do you mean you don't care? This is nothing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this was a pivotal stage in our season. And he's right. There's no such thing as an easy game after this. Granted, though, there should have never been an easy game to begin with at the start of the season because you knew what your objective is.
God, Cuellar, it's as if at this point he's asking, just sack me at this point. He's like, just sack me, get rid of me. I'm just done. How are you going to say in a Clásico Capitalino, "Nah, this is nothing. This, nah, that's nothing. We won a championship for them. Nah, they're nothing. How we can defeat the team when we only beat them once? And then the other one was in penalties, in which we really didn't truly win. We had to take them to the limit and beat penalties. And Puebla, a team in 16th place. What? And you're saying that's nothing, yet they get a point away from you? Oh, my Lord. And the upcoming is, they said that the games are not going to be easy. You're right. There's Monterrey. We got Toluca, who are not doing too bad. Querétaro, who are doing some decent. There's Chivas, and look how they're doing. And then there's Pachuca, in which Pachuca is a team with America we've always struggled with. I feel like that hasn't been a point. I think I can't recall if we even defeated them. I know from memory, it's been ties and losses to what we have with them. Whenever we're doing well, it's usually that team that just stops us to just trying to get a good season. How is Cuellar trying to say that's nothing? This is a reflection time. What do you mean? At the midway point, maybe from, I'd say, against Pumas, I feel like you should reflect. And at that point, it's like, okay, see where we are now. You're going to come to fans just trying to say these three games, Pumas, Tigres, and Puebla, are meaningless matches and they're nothing, yet you only gotten what? 2 points from that and only one goal scored, and that coming from Daniel Espinosa from the 90th minute against Pumas, in which I was coming off from a free kick, and I want to even say more, it was off of a Pumas defender. So meaning, if that Pumas defender wasn't there for that deflection, that goal may have not come in. And then if you didn't think about in this case, if Pumas scored that screamer in the 94th minute, we lost there. You think he would have said the same thing, like, yeah, that's complete, that's nothing, we're fine. I'm so scared now to him if we get, God forbid, we get battered like 4-0 by Monterrey. So he's like, we're fine. I'm like, against a team that's been in the playoffs.
I think this is truly one of those circumstances where you think, does the team do good because of the coach or because of the players? Right? Did America win these last games? Did America beat Mazatlan 8-0 because of the great coaching that Cuellar did? Or was it because he just had great players out there? Right? That's the fundamental question that we are eventually going to answer at the end of the season. It's too early. Look, America's still in a good, promising position for the playoffs. You know, granted, we know the standards at America, and when things aren't going in our direction, we tend to press that panic button a little bit faster than other teams, let's be honest. But there's merit to this. The fact that we still don't have an identity as a team, the fact that our coach is coming out and saying these things to the media, it's not looking well. It's not looking well at all. And we're going to have to give it till the end of the season. And we talked about it, AJ. Could be sitting here a couple of months from now saying hashtag Fuera Cuellar. Or he could be lifting up the trophy and we could say, well, does he merit just another year? You know, why not? He's got another title under his belt. We don't know. But it's going to be a debate as to whether or not, if he does end up winning this championship, is it because the players did it or because he influenced the players, right? It's going to go back to that whole concept of great manager or just a lucky manager with some really great players at his disposal.
I thought of the Fuera Cuellar thing, and I just think of like when the Arsenal fans had a plane flying over the Emirates, I'm pretty sure it was, and it just said like Wenger out. I'm thinking it's going to say have someone just saying Fuera Cuellar. At this point, I could see this happening because I'm so scared. That's coming from a coach. He's just like, yeah, these games are nothing. I'm already losing it. Like, these upcoming matches, I'm going to lose my sanity at this point. I'm just so worried. If we happen to not get many points after that, if he's like, we're in the playoffs, like, I think we'll be fine. I feel like the players might even protest to their own manager. Like, you think this is fine? You really think everything's okay?
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. Obviously, we don't know what the situation like in the locker room is. Granted, though, some of these girls still posting videos and stuff like that with their teammates, roommates. It looks like it's still a happy family, which is good. You don't want to see a locker room divided, especially not this deep into the season. I will say this much, though. We've seen a locker room full of joy, laughs, and everything is very well, fine, sunshine over in Coapa. Of course, the results have merited that. But now that you're kind of in this rut, kind of now that there's kind of this kind of gray cloud over Coapa, I'm really intrigued to see how the ladies respond to that. Will they find force in unity? Will there be that one player that steps up and kind of motivates the team? I'm really curious to see how they get themselves out of this little rut. And look, this is the beautiful thing about this sport, is that you can have some terrible games and then it gives you, yet again, this upcoming week, a chance to redeem yourself. And it's a perfect chance to do so against Monterrey. It's not an easy ask, of course, by no means necessary. You're talking about probably the second or third best team in the league right now, right? But If you are able to beat this team, then that makes a big statement, not to just to the league, but to yourselves, that look, we buckled down, we had to talk, and look what came out of it. So I really do hope that the ladies can reflect on these last three games and say, look, We were terrible. We were not to the Club America standards. We know we can do better. So I'm going to ask from you the same you asked from me, that we give 110% for the remainder of the season until we lift that trophy. And I really do hope that that's the message that they transcend to each other in that locker room. But all right, AJ, we've talked enough about these negatives. Let's talk a little bit of positive here, because we're going to be talking America Monterrey in just a second. But we want to remind you guys that today's episode is brought to you guys by Foot Cult. That's right. If you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys go check out our partners, Foot Cult. They have some amazing, amazing stuff, whether it's shirts, hoodies, jackets, boards, jerseys, whatever it is. They got you covered on all things in the sports gear department. You know, they got some pins, they got some wristbands. They're covering you with all things. So make sure you guys check them out. Go over to footcall.com and get yourselves some really, really nice, fly, dope gear. You guys can also purchase our Eagle Eye Podcast graphic tee. We think it's a very splendid, very nifty shirt to have. But if that's not your cup of tea, that's fine, because there's plenty of more options out there. And we got a discount code for you to use. So whenever you find that perfect item over at Foot Cult, well, you can go over there and use discount code EEP at checkout, get 10% off. So that again, that is discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. All right, AJ, let's close out the show. Let's talk America versus Monterrey. This game's going to be a doubleheader in the fact that the men's and the ladies are both playing on a Monday. Quite interestingly enough, this game is going to be at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, and of course 4 p.m. Central time. AJ, is this game going to be broadcasted?
Not so sure, considering that it is Liga MX Femenil. I'm sure they will air it in the States, but if they do not happen to put it on through the end, you could also catch the game right on Facebook.
There you guys have it. You guys have a chance to watch it on Facebook, which, by the way, the Tigres game was solely on Facebook. I had to, like, download Facebook Watch on my Apple TV. I had to log in. It was terrible. Oh, my God. So frustrating. But what was even more frustrating was that game against Tigres, so I didn't really mind the beforehand. But, if you guys, for whatever reason, cannot watch this game, make sure you guys head over to our Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. We're going to be live tweeting the whole game. Shout out to AJ, who's doing a splendid job on covering the ladies. And we're going to keep you guys covered on all things in regards to that aspect. All right, AJ, before we jump into this one, any updates from Coapa in regards to our ladies' injuries, news, anything really? Just any updates?
So, recently, Club America Femenil players Jimena Rios and Hannah Gutierrez got called up to the Mexico women's national team's training camps. Hannah Gutierrez is going to the U-17 training camp, and Jimena Rios is going to the U-20 training camps for Mexico women's national team, which these camps will be held from October 19th to October 27th. So, I feel like they're maybe not going to be featured for the Monterrey match. Well, Jimena just had the red card, so that she's definitely not going to play. But with Hannah, I'm going to assume she's not going to really be able to participate, because they're probably going to hold training to that day. And JD Gutierrez has also started training again, because from a thing before, they mentioned by Monday she should start training again from this week. So she's pretty much just getting herself back into the team now. And I think that's really about it.
Interesting. Obviously, Montserrat Hernandez, still no update as to whether or not she's going to be featuring anytime soon. They say that she is starting to do a little bit more of the training with the team, but isn't 100% there just yet. So we're speculating about maybe just two more weeks. And fortunately enough for us, we have quite the break after Monterrey. So we might just be able to see Dani Espinosa against Juarez, but fingers crossed. We'll have to wait and see. We'll keep you guys updated on that. And then, of course, as we all know, Veronica Perez out for the rest of the season. Hashtag Fuerza Vero. We are going to miss you extremely. If these games are anything to go by, we have ourselves a problem here, AJ. So we have our updates out of the way. Let's talk a little bit more about this America versus Monterrey team. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we are hosting them, right?
Yes, it's going to be played at Coapa.
Sadly enough, this is not a game that I would have liked this game to be in the Azteca.
I really wish they were back at the Azteca.
You know, that's a whole different topic. We won't get into it, but Monterrey will be visiting La Cancha Centenario, and hopefully be greeted by a very good America side. AJ, give me your predicting start in 11, and we'll kind of go from there, see how these ladies have to go up against a very good Monterrey side, how we think the ladies should plant themselves, and honestly, how will Cuellar come out and plant himself for this one, which I think might just be two separate things, which worries me. But talk to me a little bit more about this potential start in 11.
So, like they did with Tigres, they played with five at the back, but it was a 5-2-3. I'm going with 5-3-2 in this one. So I'm going to have Mascherelli starting at goalkeeper. Left back, we're actually having Wendy Morales playing, Jocelyn Oriel, Selena Valera, Ana Gaby, Monica Rodriguez as your back five. Your three midfielders are going to be Jennifer Munoz, Eva Gonzalez, Cassandra Cuevas. And then up front, I'm going to go with Marlene Campa and Daniela Espinosa.
So that's a pretty good, solid starting 11, I think. You know, you have some good reinforcements at the back, and you have potential to go and make something happen up top. What is key for our ladies in this match? How do we go up against a very good Monterrey side and come away with all 3 points if this is going to be our starting 11?
The midfield's going to really need to come up huge, because I feel like the defenders and goalkeepers cannot always be the ones that's going to have to be constantly backpacking the scene, which we are seeing them from time to time doing over and over again. Because I feel like in defense and our goalkeepers, we're completely fine. We're solid. It's the midfield. We're going to need to start putting in the work, especially with key players like Montse Hernandez and Veronica Perez. They're gone. For Netwall, Veronica Perez, she's out for the rest of the season. Monse, she's in train, but she's not completely 100%. Jennifer Munoz is back, which is good, and she's a key player in midfield. And hopefully this could be the time in which she's starting. She's playing against a big team, which is Rayadas, and she's going to have to get herself situated and start to get something going. In this case, she's going to be attacking. I feel like she's going to be attacking out front with Cassandra Cuevas, which is what she does best. Try to create some plays going forward. And I feel like with Eva Gonzalez, center defensive midfielder spot, the position that Veronica Perez was playing, she's gonna need to come up big for this one. Yeah, she's already started games, and I feel like in this case she needs to come up huge. As for the two forwards up front with Daniela Espinosa and Marlene Campa, they have to communicate with one another. They gotta know the strengths of each other. We see with Daniela Espinosa, it seems like she's really good in the air when she happens to get across. And Marlene Campa, on the hand, she seems to be really good on her feet when you're just seeing the ball on the ground. She would just send that ball into the back of the net. So I feel like in this case, have these midfielders work together, get something going. Don't get so frustrated. Send the balls in the passes to Marlene Campa and then Espinosa, and let them finish it on from there.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head right there. Don't get frustrated, because These ladies tend to get frustrated and frustrated when things just don't go their way. They start misplacing some passes and they just, their heads seem to go down and they just kind of maybe start doubting themselves. This is one thing I will say, is that the best way to come out and play is just play simple. And by that, I mean, just make the simple pass. Don't necessarily have to make a, you know, 40-yard pass into the feet of Daniela Espinosa. Just keep it simple. Even if you have to maybe, you know, take a step back, if the play is moving forward and for some reason the pass isn't there and you have to play it back to your defense, do so. Get some confidence going. These early minutes are going to be crucial. I don't expect you to go out there and try to score a goal in the first 5 minutes. Granted, it would be great if you do so, but these first 5 to 10 minutes are going to be detrimental to the confidence of our ladies. So I really want to see that midfield interlock passes, interchange in positions, and just do the simple things right. If they do that for the first opening minutes of the match, I think that's going to go a long, long way to maybe seeing a much better America Feminine for the remainder of the 90 minutes. You touched upon Jen Munoz, and let's talk a little bit about her. She hasn't had the best return back from her, obviously, the COVID the reflection that she had, and then obviously the injury that she sustained as well. Obviously, you know, two very big hurdles to get over. And as great as it is to have her back, she hasn't looked match sharp since she's been back. Obviously, just had 30 minutes against Pumas, a couple minutes against Tigres. Obviously, she had, what, about 70-ish minutes or more against Puebla. Again, it's just, I feel like she was kind of just thrown in there. It's like, look, we've lost Vero, we've lost Monse. Like, you're a very good player. You can create stuff. Like, just go out there and make it happen. I get it. It's a lot. But we knew that that was going to be a responsibility coming into this one. So, like you mentioned, big game, big moment, big rival. And these are moments in which players make not just a name for themselves, but leave an imprint on the fans' memory as to what a player of their caliber is capable of in these moments. And so I think that Jen needs to come up and have a big game. And not just necessarily in the football aspect of it, but maybe in the leadership aspect, right? This is a player that's played in very big matches before over in here in the States. She understands what is being asked of her. She knows what it means to wear this jersey. So I would like her to kind of, in that little trio of a midfield, be the one to kind of carry and backpack them a little bit and say, look, I'll carry you on my shoulders, but I need you guys to try to give me your all. Right? So, yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's no doubt about it because everyone needs to be having their 110% into this match, but they also have to be ready physically and mentally because it's a game where it's like, you know, there's going to be a time where the opposition scores. Everyone gets then completely like frustrated and upset. But it's that thing like, in a case, it's like, try to think of it as like if it's still 0-0 as if they not let the as if like a goal has not been scored yet. You need to keep that positive mentality throughout those full 90 minutes because, like we saw, they were completely frustrated against these. That threw everyone off. You were seeing disciplinary pawns like when Marcela Valle, where she was committing just fouls that are clearly going to be giving you the yellow cards. When she got the red, as she was going to complain, to like, that's not a red. I'm like, it is. Everyone's getting frustrated. No one's really doing anything. So it's just in this game, everyone needs to be, you know, having a positive mentality going forward. No matter what's going to be happening, just keep pushing through, keep fighting for it. When we get that goal, celebrate, get everyone like in a huddle, like hug each other, just congratulate each other, like, because you want to have make sure that everyone is being happy throughout the entire match. Yeah, there's gonna be scary moments where the opposition is gonna have some kind of opportunity. It could be anything, whether if it's a sliding tackle, you get the ball away, the goalkeeper makes the goalie makes a great save. Congratulate, give him like a pat on the back or a high five because that's something that's gonna be to do. I say with Jennifer Munoz, seeing how big of a figure she is already in America Feminine. She's already solidified as one of the faces in the Liga MX Feminine and in this team. So it's the case where she's like you're saying, she's going to have like a leadership role where she's going to be like, I'm going to help this team out, but you're going to have to promise that you're going to do the same to me. It's like a thing where it's like you give them something that you want them to give something back to you pretty much. So if they can do that in this case, then it feels like everyone should be having a good time in this match, which is what I really want to see these ladies doing. Because these last three matches, it was really just painful to watch them. But this can be the game in which they completely change that and they say, "All right, let's get back to what we do best on the field."
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I think that they have to go out there, play the simple game. Don't be afraid to go out, Monterrey. And the reason why I say that is because I think Cuellar might plant themselves for a very defensive and very closed game in where I think they're going to say, look, let them have the ball. Don't try to contest too much. We know that we've had some disciplinary issues. Let them have the ball, and we're going to try to do our best to relieve on the counter. I think Cuellar is planting this game so that he doesn't lose, meaning that he will take a tie. But if he ends up losing by just one goal margin, he'll be okay with that too, which is frustrating. That is not the mentality an America coach should have, especially coming up against a really good rival that you could potentially be seeing in the final. Because that's not how you play a final, right? Unless you're Jose Mourinho. but in all seriousness, I don't have much faith coming into this one from Cuellar. From the ladies, I do. I think we have enough talent. We have enough players out there on the pitch that understand what is being asked of them, that they can go out there and get the job done. My only concern is that Cuellar is planting himself and his team to make sure they don't go out to lose by more than one goal. And that's worrisome.
Yeah, no, it's just the thing. Like, your coach, I feel like your coach should just be like, if he really should just send a comment like, no, I should take the blame. It's like, this is unacceptable how in these three matches we have not gained the results that we want. Like, against Puma, it's like we should be beating our rivals and a Clásico. That's three huge points right there. Tigres, that's another fierce rival that we have in this league. It's like we should be trying to beat them, give it our all. And against a team like Bo, which will start throughout the season, it's like that should be points we should be getting. If not, then I'm like, there's problems. Then I'm going to have to then do my homework and figure out, what did I do wrong in this match? What can I improve on? What should I not do again to then have the same result like this again? Because with Monterrey, he needs to realize this is a team we're going to come against in the playoffs, no doubt about it. And they've beaten us in the playoffs before. We drew to them, if I'm not mistaken, it was two seasons ago, and then they beat us. We've only beaten them once, which happened to be in the Copa MX when the league first started. But that's still not to look at back then, because for the most of this, Monterrey side has completely evolved since the very beginning, if I'm not mistaken. We beat them, I'm trying to remember, I think it was like 6-0 or something. So in this case, it seemed like they maybe learned from that. It's like, we're going to prevent stuff like this from happening again. America's only beaten them once. Monterrey has beaten us twice. We've only drawn once. I would like for America for me to add another win into here just to show, like, no, we're gonna be the better side than you, because this is one of the teams that are going to be our rivals. Because in this league, I feel like for the homework for America for me, we have Tigres, Rayadas, Atlas, Pumas, Pachuca, Chivas. Those are the teams right there where be like, those are like the big homework assignments that you need to be doing well in. Every other team, I feel like in this case, you should be gaining a point. No disrespect to them to saying they're not a bad team. They're going to give it their all, but I feel like with the caliber of your team, like America fan, I feel like these should be games you should be expected to win at all costs. The other teams that I mentioned, I feel there are fierce rivals. It's like, this is like, I want to say like homework, but this is like an exam. It's like, now see what you can do against this team. Then you look into it, do the homework, figure out what went well, what went wrong, and that's it. But it's like you mentioned, I was like, when you said that you're like, I'm not having much confidence in this one. Unfortunately, I think I'm on that same boat with you, especially after what he said in that press conference. I'm like, I'm actually worried to how America family are going to be coming to this match. I feel like the players, they're definitely capable of doing what they got to do. It's just Cuellar. It's like, at this rate, after what he said, is he even wanting to take this seriously? Is this maybe a hint where he's like, my job might be done at this point? And I feel like if I can't do anything right in this season, it's like, I don't know how I'm going to be next season, which I feel like that's a whole thing we should discuss maybe by the end of the season or at some other point. But it's just that thing. It's like, your own coach is saying something like that in a press conference, especially if you're a big team like America, I would be really worried. And maybe as the players too, just think about to my coach. It's like, why is my coach saying that? What do you mean by that? It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Very worrisome. Very, very worrisome. Well, AJ, I think we've dragged this long enough. Time to wrap it up with some predictions. We know that we're in kind of a hesitant boat, so I'm curious to see what your prediction is going to be. Something tells me it's not going to be your usual 3-0 to America.
Mm-mm. The prediction I'm going to be going with in this match, 2-1. America's going to score two goals and Monterrey's only going to score one. We're going to win.
I think you're being very generous there. Look, I want to back the ladies for a victory. I really do. I don't see how they can succeed when your coach sets you up for failure, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to strive. They're going to do their best that they can. But I think it won't be enough. I think America goes away with a 1-1 draw against Monterrey, which would be heartbreaking. It really would be. But it's just kind of the situation that we're in. So we'll see whether or not that they're capable of getting all 3 points. Fingers crossed that they do. But it does paint to be a promising match. I will say that much. But that is it, ladies and gentlemen. That is America versus Monterrey preview. Let us know in the comment section down below what you guys think. Let us know over on Twitter or Instagram. Do you think the ladies have what it takes to not just only beat Monterrey, but get over these last couple of, you know, little ruts that we've had and potentially lift the trophy at the end of the season? It's definitely a conversation me and AJ are going to have. So With that said, AJ, anything else to add before we wrap it up?
No, I think we covered it all.
I think we definitely did. All right, AJ, well, I think that does it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, if you guys cannot watch this game, and for whatever reason, because you're like me, trying to watch this game in your office, and you're trying to make sure no one's looking at at your screen, don't worry about it. Make sure you guys go and head over to our Twitter account. We'll keep you live tweeting the match and keep you guys up to date with everything going on in that match against Monterrey. All right, AJ, thank you so much for coming out, man. Stay safe out there. Everyone listening, and to everyone that's following us, everyone that's following us over on Twitter, Instagram, subscribe to the podcast on, you know, whether it's YouTube, whether it's iHeartRadio, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Thank you so much to every single one of you guys listening. And again, wouldn't be possible without you guys. And also, huge shout out to our sponsors, Footcall, for making this a possibility. Hashtag free foot call. They still are not out of Twitter jail. I don't know what is going on. But then again, Twitter crashed and completely went down today. So Twitter, what is going on? Actually, you know what? I'm going to resend that because I don't want them to be doing anything to our account either. So we're just going to leave it. Bygones be bygones. All right, everyone. You guys have a wonderful time. Thank you again. We'll be back next week to talk all things Lady Aguilas again. So make sure you guys tune in. AJ, again, thank you so much to every single one of you guys listening. Thank you. And we'll see you guys on the next one. As always, take care. Wear your mask. Be safe. And as always, Arriba America.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.